Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Home Healthcare News Editor Andrew Downland. Today, our guest is Brady Schwab, the Chief Growth Officer at Right at Home. We get into contemporary challenges in personal care and how to mitigate those, as well as growth opportunities in personal care and how to accelerate those. Before we get into that conversation, though, a word from our sponsor, Care Academy. Care Academy is like the Netflix of healthcare, with more than 500 engaging classes to train, retain, and upskill care staff. Care Academy's unique platform takes your training to the next level, all while saving you time. Easy-to-use mobile classes make learning accessible anytime, anywhere, with support for multiple languages. Level up with specialized certifications in areas from dementia to mental health. Simple compliance reporting makes your audits a breeze. Achieve cost containment using text messaging and interoperability with multiple ecosystem platforms. Visit careacademy.com to start a free trial today. Okay, Brady, thanks for joining us. And before we get into specific questions, I do want to get a background on yourself for the audience that might not be familiar with you.
Sure. I appreciate it, Andrew, and thanks for having me. You know, I really started my career as an audiologist working in a clinic with seniors. So essentially, I was responsible for doing hearing tests and selling and fitting hearing aids. So really, my entire career has been in hearing healthcare. After about 3 years working clinically, I was really ready for new challenges and was intrigued by kind of the business opportunities within the industry, and moved into a sales role with a wholesale hearing device company, really going out to a region and selling medical devices in that role. And from there, was really fortunate to have a diversity of opportunities to grow and learn across a lot of different roles, private practice management and operations, worked in a startup, business development, retail, multi-unit management, and M&A. So really been lucky to touch a lot of different aspects of the hearing healthcare industry, and really excited to bring these experiences to my new role at Right at Home.
Yeah, so how did the opportunity come to fruition? Were you interested in getting into the home care industry in the first place, or was it sort of happenstance? How did that all come about?
Yeah, it was just kind of a great opportunity and a little bit more happenstance, but I did have some vantage into home care and home health with some colleagues that I worked with previously that had made the jump over. So I had a little bit of an insight and window, but in terms of the opportunity coming about, it was a little bit more serendipitous than that.
And is there anything in particular that sort of intrigues you about the home care space? Was there something, obviously you said you've been in the hearing space for a while, still working with seniors, but was there something about home care that was made the opportunity even more attractive?
I think a couple things. One is just the opportunity and the innovation around both aging and the huge demographic opportunity. The change in healthcare and healthcare delivery moving from, you know, more institutional and hospital based to at home really intrigued me, though I'm not in home health. I just, you know, I've always been around healthcare, been around seniors, and it was a really interesting combination of those two that just came together, and a great opportunity professionally for me and becoming part of a great team.
Okay, great. So is there a moment yet, Brady, where you sort of noticed a difference in the home care industry compared to where you had been in the past? Maybe an inflection point where you said, oh, this is a little bit different. Now I feel like I really understand the industry more. Anything like that yet?
You know, learning a ton. Every day is a new lesson and kind of drinking from the fire hose. But I think early on, it was kind of just the realization of the complexity of going into somebody's home and, you know, that being the venue for delivery of care and kind of a complexity around it. You know, as an audiologist would do house calls and work in facilities and, but it was always kind of, you know, really clinic based and the basis of the relationship was built in a clinic and now understanding just the trust and the intimacy of going into someone's home and the personal nature of our work really heightened the degree of trust building and thoughtfulness that's required by caregivers and staff, you know, not to mention just the logistics of scheduling and travel. Just a layer of complexity that until I got close to, you know, the actual delivery of care was was a little bit academic, and now is a lot more real. So that's an early example, and I feel like there's new examples every day. But that was one that really, you know, kind of changed my perception and orientation to the problems we're trying to solve.
Okay, great. So obviously, your role is Chief Growth Officer. So we're going to be focused on growth a little bit here in the conversation. Something I did want to touch on at the outset is the company-owned footprint, right? So Right at Home is a franchise, but something that you all want to grow is that company-owned footprint, the amount of locations you have under your own belt. Why is that? Why is that a strategy of Right at Home's right now?
Sure. There's really kind of three pillars to the company-owned footprint. You know, one is market share. There's opportunities to expand our footprint strategically and opportunistically that will help us accelerate growth. You know, there's some markets we're just not in, or a market that we feel like owning is a really strong opportunity for us, and we can acquire a great business, great capabilities, or talent. And, you know, we can enter or expand the market more proactively and capture that opportunity for growth more immediately. So market share is one. The second is, you know, we're really believe that it's an opportunity to be in business alongside our franchisees. Facing the same challenges on a day-to-day basis gives us a ton of perspective on trends and opportunities in the industry. It not only gives us some credibility around, you know, we're in the business too, we understand it, we're in it together, but we can share best practices for multi-unit franchisees as well, because we'll have that perspective of operating multiple locations and feel that we can feed that back into the system as a best practice. And then lastly, it's really our proving ground and testing bed for innovation. So we drive to bring innovation into the system, and that requires a level of risk taking and you know, putting our money where our mouth is, that we don't want to assign or ascribe to the system, especially early on in an innovation process. We know we're going to have some well-earned lessons and definitely some failure along the way. You know, we want to be able to operationalize and develop these best practices around a new model or a new technology. And we know these concepts or ideas will evolve over time. And for most of the system, they're not interested in being guinea pigs and testers for version 1.0. We certainly have owners that are and really excited about that and want to participate, and we welcome that. But for many, there's just a different margin of error for the innovation process that maybe with their degree of personal financial risk just doesn't make sense for them. So we really believe that the corporate owned strategy provides a lot of value back to the network by being able to kind of cultivate some of these things in the early stages before we bring them to the larger system.
Yeah, I think that all makes a lot of sense. So where are you right now in terms of your footprint, and where might you want to get to in the near-term future in terms of that corporate-owned footprint?
You know, currently we have 10 corporate-owned locations, and somewhat geographically diverse. You know, in terms of what that end game looks like, you know, we think that there's a rational mix of franchisee and corporate owned, but what that end point looks like, I couldn't really say. I think we're still bullish on the opportunity. There's still some markets that we definitely want to be proactive in, and there's always opportunistic situations that we want to evaluate. You know, in any case, we want to buy well, we want to operate well, we want to be a good participant to our franchisees, and we think there's more growth to be had from that perspective. But where that ultimately ends will, I think, become more clear as we get more reps under our belt.
And would you say that's the focus right now, or is growth always just going to be sort of two-pronged for you all, or even three-pronged?
I would say it is definitely three-pronged. And, you know, one is obviously growing our footprint from the franchisee standpoint. You know, we're we've been franchising for 25 years. So while we're pretty mature, or, you know, have a degree of maturity from that perspective, we still think that there's runway there. And, you know, this year, kind of coming out of COVID and, you know, kind of sharpening our tool here a little bit, we're focused on really kind of redoubling our efforts and staying focused on our opportunity from a franchisee growth standpoint. So that's very much real, but we know that you know, growth from a new franchise standpoint is, you know, kind of, there's some time and incremental growth that comes from that. And frankly, our, you know, our growth expectations are higher than that. So that really, you know, leads back to more of our ability to innovate and drive performance within the system. You know, how do we be more productive with our current staff? How to become the employer of choice? And how do we leverage technology and innovation to deliver, you know, high quality care that's less labor dependent and raises the game for our caregivers? So that when you look at a system of our size, you know, that's a pretty big lever. And, you know, in absolute terms, that's where, you know, we can deliver a lot of end result from growth. So that's I think our biggest lever, but is the second of three. And the last is acquisitions. You know, how do we bring in more talent, bring in more capabilities and capacities from an acquisition standpoint and help fuel our growth? Obviously, if we get better across the system and innovate and develop better technologies, that helps our new franchisees, that helps our acquisitions, and can be a lever across the system. So,
yeah, so I think the acquisition portion is really interesting. And I'm wondering, so when you do acquire a home care agency, would that just become a corporate-owned location, or are you more talking about technology-type add-ons?
So from an acquisition standpoint, you know, our primary focus today is acquiring agencies to become corporate-owned right-at-home stores in that market. That is not to say that we aren't looking to be acquisitive outside of that, whether it's technologies or other companies. It's I think early on in our strategy around what those acquisitions could look like, but it's certainly on our canvas and playbook to be thoughtful and you know, mindful about those opportunities to really bring a lot of growth and energy into the system.
And you mentioned areas that you may want to enter earlier without giving, you know, too much away. You don't have to mention specific places, but you did say there's some areas that you do want to enter into. When you're evaluating that, is there certain characteristics of an area that make it more likely that you would either buy into that area or open up a de novo, let's say, corporate-owned location?
You know, there's certainly kind of the, you know, the more general demographic opportunities, the, you know, where are we seeing migration patterns, and what do we know from within the metrics of our own system that are really fertile areas for us to enter and, you know, make an impact. So, you know, I think, you know, short of getting into any of the real detail and nuance, there's a lot of that high level stuff when we look at our map and where we have holes in our current territory. There's some natural opportunity and, you know, we've had some real success with some of our franchisees selling to right at home from a corporate owned standpoint, and the ability to expand and build off of those locations is a strong opportunity as well.
Okay, switching gears a little bit here. So in terms of rising billing rates in the home care industry, this is something that I've written and reported about a lot over the last year or so. A lot of home care franchises talking about, you know, how billing rates went up 20% overnight seemingly, or even more than that in some instances. From your perspective, how can that affect growth? And what do you do to make sure that, you know, you're still growing even though there are some of these headwinds in the industry?
The billing rates are really an interesting aspect of the moment we find ourselves in time. You know, it's otherwise, you know, when can a good thing turn negative? You know, as I look at it, you know, there's definitely some concerns. Firstly, kind of from a philosophical perspective, you know, we want to have the ability to provide care to an economically diverse population. And we're really passionate about what we do. And we want to make sure that we're not only serving those in the most comfortable financial position, but, you know, more broadly to the population that needs us. I think secondly, the increasing bill rates put a lot of downward pressure on service hours. If clients are rationing their care, that as a cascading impact puts pressure on care plans and outcomes. And we really are sensitive to, you know, those dynamics and that push-pull. The rationing of care could be a huge consequence and governor on our growth. And then lastly, the higher bill rates create an opportunity for new entrants and disruptive innovation. You know, we want to be the ones that disrupt our own business or create models that can expand our reach in markets. The margins and higher bill rates can cloud the perspective of the opportunity to get better in new ways and to get better faster. Because there's a feeling of, you know, kind of doing well where we are today. And as they say, kind of revenue cures all ills. It does until it doesn't. And we want to make sure that we're really, you know, staying focused and opportunistic in terms of how do we get better every day. And some of those things can be clouded by this rising tide.
So obviously you're new to the industry, but I'm curious, you probably wouldn't be in the position you are if you weren't bullish on home care franchising growth at large. But do you think it's becoming more challenging than it may have been in the past?
It's a good question. I'm probably not the best person in the world to answer that question. But, you know, that said, I think franchising as a concept is a really wonderful way to create a path for enterprising and hardworking people that want to have ownership in their future, that want to contribute, that, you know, want to build personal wealth. There's certainly franchising regulatory clouds on the horizon that's going to require advocacy and, you know, some loud voices to the governing bodies and address some of the misperceptions of franchising at large. But it really doesn't diminish my view on the opportunity that franchising presents in general and really specifically in home care, to your point. We do a lot of really good and valuable work. And you know, frankly, the demand for our services will continue to far outpace supply. That's a better problem to have than the converse, but, you know, it's still a problem. But in my experience and in my view from hearing care and whether it was consolidation or vertical integration, I think the small business owners that apply innovation and really execute on the blocking and tackling at a local level will always have the opportunity to win in a business like home care. You know, to be able to be in business for yourself and really leverage that ownership mentality and that owner's mindset, but not being by yourself and being responsible for 100% of kind of solving the riddle that is, you know, running a small business and, you know, delivering care. I think I am very bullish. I think it seems like everything's always harder than it used to be. So trying to separate that out from maybe what are the market realities, but regardless of the challenge, I think that there are challenges that can be overcome.
Yeah, and I assume too, I mean, you know, some people say we're in a recession right now. Some people say we're headed towards one. There's a lot of differing opinions on that. But during those periods of time, obviously there's more interest in franchising. That's something we know. Mm-hmm. And we also know that home-based care in general is becoming more popular. So those are two tailwinds just in themselves.
Totally. And, you know, I think when, as Warren Buffett says, when there's fear, you know, that's an opportunity to buy. And I think as we see, you know, maybe these economic winters, it's a great time to plant. And you know, a lot of people really look at the opportunity to bet on themselves. And, you know, the challenges around interest rates and the broader economy are real and felt differently in different parts of the country. But net, I'm still bullish on the opportunity for folks to really get up in the morning and work for themselves and, you know, go out and make an impact. And I think, you know, certainly the franchisees that I've been fortunate enough to meet across Right at Home, you know, that's in their DNA and it's really exciting. And I don't think that's, you know, going to go away and the opportunity to serve and address this huge demand that's only growing is very, very much real.
Okay, so staffing shortages, this is something you sort of mentioned at the beginning of the conversation in terms of acquisition, but that's obviously a growth impediment, right? If there's not enough capacity, what can you do from your perspective, your position, to help mitigate the effects of those shortages or at least find a way to keep growing despite them?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the number one thing that it keeps me up at night because it's our single largest governor to growth, without a doubt. And as we consider avenues for innovation, both on the technology and business innovation side, we have to continually reprioritize our work to not just drive more demand. We'll come up with a really exciting idea and kind of, whiteboard it out, and it ends up in a result of driving more demand right into the teeth of our caregiver shortage. So definitely need to do all we can to mitigate these effects. And I really believe in my role, there's an opportunity around our innovation that we can attack this in a couple different ways. One is to improve the experience for caregivers as we look at how we deliver care and, what it means professionally to be a caregiver. And make their daily lives a little bit easier and more rewarding at right at home so that we can be the employer of choice. I think there's opportunities to develop tools and services that enhance and elevate the profession, attract more talent to the role and bring a lot of awareness to the role that we think we can have daily impact for caregivers. At the end of the day, we all also understand there's just a demographic math problem that we can't solve fast enough. There are, more people in this generation than there are to take care of them. So technology is a necessary component to all of the things that we talked about already. And it's opportunity to expand care that simply can't come from a person. So, I think we're obviously there's so much in the press today about AI and the opportunity from a technology standpoint. I think we're on the precipice of some really mind-boggling innovations, and hardly news coming from me, but there's an awful lot out there, and I think we have the opportunity for AI to really disrupt our idea of companionship, of prediction, of interaction in ways that we're just starting to wrap our arms around. And frankly, I think it's a huge opportunity and augmentation to the caregivers that we have. I'm not worried about replacing caregivers. I think things like AI and technology will really help us elevate the role in incredible ways and unlock opportunities for caregivers to kind of specialize in things that are distinctly human. And that's really exciting to me. And like everybody else, we're holding on every day for the latest from AI and those kinds of developments.
Okay, Brady, finally, and I know this is going to be a tough one to answer, but if you could only reach one, what's the goal that you'd like to accomplish most for Right at Home by the end of your time here? Whenever that may be, what's the one goal that you'd really like to look back on and say, that one we accomplished?
Well, that's a tough one. Honestly, I think, there's a whole bunch we'd like to accomplish, and to narrow down to one is awfully tough. I think if I could look back and say that we really identified a key problem that our franchisees and the industry faced and will have answered that challenge with an innovative, actionable, and dare I even say elegant solution that helped more people and improved care and improved the opportunity for the folks that are out there providing the care, the franchisees, and even for my team, just kind of gave them new opportunities. I think that'd be a job well done. I probably packed more than one in there, Andrew, but I hope you won't throw a flag on me for that. But I think if we can say that we really solved the problem that was vexing and sticky, I'd be pretty happy.
Okay, fantastic. No, I'll let you keep all those in there in the post edit.
All right.
Brady, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you joining me.
Andrew, thank you. Really appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com. I'm Andrew Donlin, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network, Chicago, Illinois.